Hey, this is Adam Starling. I'm the senior pastor at Victory Family Church. Thank you so much for joining us today. I pray this message will inspire you, encourage you, and hopefully challenge you to become everything that God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. Welcome again to VFC. Those of you watching online, welcome. Love you, grateful for you, wherever you are watching from. Wild night last night, huh? Wow. Here's what I learned last night. Like sometimes, you know, I think my daughter has a bit of an attitude, which is, you know, it's okay. We're working through it. But I learned she has just the same attitude with the Lord as she does with me and Christy. She was praying, God, listen to me right now. And I was like, all right, pray with authority, London. I like it. It's good. So, hey, listen, I know one family that their house got hit very bad in the church, and I think there's a couple more that got affected by it. So if you or if somebody that you know, they don't even have to go to the church. That's why God put us in here, to help not just people in the church, but people in our community. So if you know somebody that was affected last night by one of the tornadoes, I think Ryan, you said it was 26 tornadoes in the state yesterday. And so we want to be able to help them. So on the front page of our homepage of our website, if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll be able to click a link if you need help or somebody needs help. Or if you want to be a part of the relief of the help, you click that link and you sign up to volunteer, and if needs come in, we'll contact you and connect you. Or if you want to, after the end of the worship experience, as you exit to your left, there's a big next steps wall, and there's a desk out there. Some people out there can kind of help guide you. Again, we just want to be a help to our community at all times, but especially in times like this. Speaking of, this Saturday is our Single Mother's Day of Pampering, which is one of our greatest outreaches every year. Just get to pamper some single moms. And if you want to sign up to volunteer, you can click on the QR code in the seat back in front of you, or again, go out in the lobby and you can sign up to help there. I do think we still need some people, it doesn't have to be dudes. We need some people to help detail cars. And so if you could help us out this Saturday, you can sign up for two different time slots, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. We would love to have you help us. So we're going to finish up the series today, the 50 Days After. And this has been a really fun series. We started kind of on Easter week. And then what we're doing the next several Sundays was we went from, what is that 50-day time frame from the resurrection, the greatest moment in the history of the world, all the way to when the Lord sends the Holy Spirit to his people. So Jesus is on earth for 40 days. He teaches and he directs, but he tells his followers, he says, wait, don't do anything yet, wait, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pick up today in Acts chapter 1. We're going to do verse 4 and 5, and then I'm going to hit a lot of scripture today, a lot in Acts. So Acts chapter 1, verse 4 says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave him this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Everybody say wait. Average at best. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is not the first time Jesus talked to his followers about the coming of the Holy Spirit. If you back up all the way to John chapter 14, verse 12, he says something that blows my mind still. I read this passage a lot. It is wildly important. This passage is wildly important to followers of Jesus. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me, okay, let's just do this. Raise your hand if you believe in him. Okay. Will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. I won't even ask you to raise your hand if you've been doing greater things than Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to do that. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Okay. This is wild. Jesus says, I gotta leave, but You know the works I'm doing? You can do even greater things than this. That didn't make sense. Like, think about that. Like, these are followers of Jesus. They will see him raise people from the dead, make blind people see, paralyzed people get up and walk. They will see him walk on water. And Jesus himself is saying, not only will you do the things that I've done, but you can do even greater things. That doesn't even make sense. How is this possible? John chapter 16, verse 7, he says, but very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I am going away. That doesn't make sense either. No, I'd just rather have you right here, Jesus. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is saying, I am sending you something that is better than having me right here next to you all the times. Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit living inside of us is actually better than Jesus standing right next to us. But you ever think about that? Think about Jesus standing right next to you all the time. Think about you're driving and you're about to flip somebody off. Not you guys, the 1 o'clock. There's some accountability right there, you know what I mean? It's like, right? Or you remember like in Bruce Almighty one that he's in traffic, he's just like, right? That's what I'll be doing, just flying, right? It'd be awesome. Just imagine you get tempted, you're doing your little TurboTax, you're about to cheat on your taxes, you know, just fudge the numbers just a little bit, and you see Jesus right next to you, you're like, oh. Delete. My bad. I was just kidding, right? Or are you tempted to do what you're actually struggling with right now? Think about this. Think about like somebody sick. Think about how excited you would be to be around people that are sick or have diseases, right? Be like, oh, Jesus. They got a disease. Heal them. Like Jesus right next to us. That would be like unbelievable. Like think about like, the dream, like, if Jesus was right next to us, think about, like, all the love that we would experience, the peace that we would have with Jesus right now. Think about the joy that we would have. Think about the self-control. Ironically, all of those are the fruit of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. So Jesus says, wait on the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is actually better than me right next to you. Jesus is saying, I'm leaving, but y'all about to upgrade. And everybody loves an upgrade. Come on, like I remember some of you are young and you don't remember phones that weren't smart, right? But you remember the first time you got a cell phone and you didn't have to press a number 3 times to get the letter you wanted? Come on. Young folks, they don't know nothing about that. You know, it's like, you get so good. You got to, right? The only game you could play was Snake. Look, Snake got me through chapel in college. Man, some of those guys are boring. I'm just telling you, some of y'all play Snake while I preach. It's fine. It got me through. But then you got a smartphone. You upgraded, right? Kids are asking their parents, what is Snake? And why would you have to press a number 3 times to text? It doesn't even make sense to me, right? You upgrade. Now, not like your camera on your phone. Like, I didn't have a camera on my phone growing up. Like, I didn't have a phone growing up. But even in college, even early life, I didn't have a camera. Now you take pictures that are, like, unbelievable. It's upgrade. You're constantly upgrading. The best upgrade, though, I think, is an airplane. Right? Anybody ever been upgraded to first class? I'm not even a business class guy. I'm a coach. I'm the cheapest plane ride I can get type of guy. And there have been occasions. There's one occasion, Christy and I, we showed up to the airport, and lady behind the counter, the Delta counter, she says, hey, Pastor Adam. And I said, thank God. Come on, man. Yes. I didn't ask for an upgrade, but she said, we have some openings in first class. Would you like them? Yes, I would. And listen, I'm not a judgmental guy. And if I was to pay for a first class ticket, I wouldn't judge anybody in coach because that's normally me. But when I don't pay for it, I get judgy. Like all the commoners have to walk past me. You know what I mean? While I sit in my plus chair. It's because I got upgraded. Everybody loves an upgrade. Jesus is saying, like what you've experienced is great, but I got an upgrade for you. And it's the Holy Spirit that's going to dwell inside of you. Wait, but he says, wait. Then here it is, Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. That's why they call it the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire and separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So they start speaking in other languages, and what they're preaching in other languages that they don't even understand. They're proclaiming the gospel. And then everybody's like, these people came out of this room upstairs and they're all trash. And Peter stands up, the disciple Peter stands up, and he's like, it's only 9 a.m. It's way too early to be drunk. And then he starts quoting the Old Testament. He preaches boldly in Acts chapter 2, and his sermons were always very simple. It was simply, Jesus was the Son of God. You killed him. God raised him. Say you're sorry. Follow him. And they did. At the end of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. That's the point. Holy Spirit helps us be more like Jesus and helps us lead people to him. Holy Spirit's the third member of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Francis Chan wrote a book called The Forgotten God, all about the Holy Spirit, because it's a lot easier for us, and it's sometimes be less weird to talk about God as a Father, talk about Jesus, but we don't really talk about the Holy Spirit quite as much. Spirit of God is maybe best described as the presence of God that not only dwells with us, but in us, empowering us to live our lives like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a person to have a relationship with. It's not like a mythological figure that you should fear or try to capture like Bigfoot. That's not what it is. And the gifts of the Spirit are not like the stones in Thanos' glove. Right? It's like you think if I get more, then I'm going to have more power, right? It's like I have the ring of tongues, I have the ring of prophecy. If I can get the ring of discernment, I will rule the world, right? That's not what it is. It's not like that. The Holy Spirit's God living in us, empowering us, guiding us, helping us, comforting us. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. All of our kids at some point, those of you who have kids, have been to one of those water parks where there's the big bucket and the bell goes off and the bucket dumps out and pours all the water on the kids, and it's so weird. It's like your kids, like when they're little, it's like their favorite thing. It's like the bell goes off, and like 1,000 streamy little kids go underneath this bucket, and the bucket pours out, and you're like, I could have saved a lot of money. We're just at the house. I could have just poured water on it. Like, and it's fun, more fun for me to do that. Watch this, right? When you do it at the house, they get mad at you, but they somehow like it at the. It's weird. Listen, that water is always pouring out. The Spirit of God is always pouring out. Our job isn't to manufacture an outpouring on the Holy Spirit. It's simply to position ourselves under the bucket. We'll talk real quick, three ways to position ourselves so the Holy Spirit can pour in us and through us in our lives. The first one is simply follow Jesus. I think we've gotten confused over the years. Following Jesus and believing in Jesus are two very different things. Even Satan believes in Jesus. That doesn't actually mean a lot. Following Jesus is about living our lives in the way that Jesus has called us to live our lives. Acts chapter 2 was full of followers of Jesus. They were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Listen, there have been occasions in my life where I tried to follow Christy. She's in her car and I'm in my car. And it's a nightmare. I didn't tell you this. So I was actually telling this story at the 9:15. And two of your staff tried to follow you to your retreat last week. And they were laughing. And I said, did this happen to you guys? And they said, yes, every time we try to follow her. So they don't follow you anymore. But they, you know, a little stick on the side of the steering wheel that's connected to the blinker thing? She don't know. Somebody tell her what that is. She don't even know. She's been driving for 20-something years. She don't even know. There's a stick that you flick it, and it blinks, and it tells the people behind you where you're headed. Yeah, you should try it sometime. I'm just telling you, it's good. You're only supposed to switch one lane at a time. Okay? She'll be in the far left lane, and then she'll see an exit ramp, and it's a 90-degree turn. And it's like, how you follow that? You can't follow that. I'm not even lying. Chris, am I lying? See, he knows. He's been there. Look. She good at a lot of things. Like, y'all just hear her sing. She good at a lot of things, but that's just not her thing, right? Right? We can't be good at everything, right? It's just, she just sucks at that. So, it's fine. So, if you're going to follow her, you got, it's here are the simple rules. You stay as close as humanly possible and do exactly what she does. I can say, I can even say, look, I know Christy. I love Christy. I can say all those things. But I don't want to follow Christy. I got to stay really close. We can say, I love Jesus, but we don't actually follow Jesus. You want to follow Jesus, stay really close and do everything that he does. And the result of actually following Jesus, of having the Spirit of God dwell inside of you, you think about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 we just talked about. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things come from a life of following Jesus and being yielded to the Holy Spirit. Like, if you don't actually follow Jesus, you're never going to experience a true peace and a true joy in your life. And it doesn't mean like as soon as you follow Jesus, it doesn't mean that life is easy and it's all sunshine and rainbows. It doesn't mean that. It just means even in the midst of all of the difficulties, in the midst of life, the all-powerful, all-knowing God of the universe is with us every moment of the day. As I've gotten older, I've learned to trust my gut because I've learned it's not my gut at all. It's the Holy Spirit. It's his still, small voice that's always speaking to us. And I've said before, like, oh, man, I messed this up. I should have listened to my gut. And what I'm really saying is I learned how to ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit and do things my way. He'll guide us. He'll comfort us. He'll even convict us. The Holy Spirit does not condemn you, but he certainly convicts you. Condemnation comes from the enemy. Conviction comes from the Spirit of God. Condemnation wants to make you feel guilt and shame. Conviction wants you to repent so you can be free. But if you haven't felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit in a long time, I would maybe wonder, am I following Jesus? Put yourself in position for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit by truly following Jesus, and then also learning to live in unity with followers of Jesus. So there's 120 followers in this room, in this upstairs room, and when they're filled with the Spirit of God. But understand, they were seeking the presence of God together. Church, like, I just want to always see God move. I want to see him move. I want everything God has for my own personal life. I want everything that God has for this church. In Acts chapter 2, before the Holy Spirit came on them, they had one focus, one priority. They just wanted to be a representation of Jesus to anybody that they encountered. And in a country and even a church that's increasingly divided, we got to fight for unity. My favorite season of the year is coming up, election season. Appreciate you laughing because that was certainly sarcastic. Listen, I think you should vote. I think you should be involved for sure. I just dread it as a pastor because of how much I see the church fight each other. Listen, nobody has ever changed their vote because of your social media post. Like, you never posted something and they're like, oh my goodness, I never thought about that. That's crazy. I'm not voting for my guy anymore. I'm going to vote for the other guy. That's literally never happened. But they have changed churches because of your social media post. Or left the church altogether. Is that long enough? Dramatic pause to let it sink in. I'm just trying to make sure they really get it. You know? Romans 16:17-18. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Titus chapter 3, verse 10, it says, warn a divisive person once and warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. That ain't my words. On the other hand, in Scripture, unity almost always precedes a move of God. And it's not about talking the same, voting the same, looking the same, acting the same. Unity is not uniformity. Unity is that we're all unified in the same common purpose, loving God and loving His people above everything else. You guys notice how, like, geese always fly in that V formation? And obviously you see that and you know there's a purpose behind it, but science has found that flying in the V formation increases their flying risk by 71% than if they were to fly alone. Whenever a goose gets tired, if it's in the front, it'll drop down and then it'll get to the back so they can rotate and work together as a team. The ones from behind, they honk to the ones in the front so they can encourage them to keep up their speed. So if I'm behind you and I honk at you, I just want you to know I'm encouraging you, so you're welcome. If one of them gets injured or one of them gets sick, this is awesome. I didn't even know this. Two others will fly with it and even go to the ground with it until it either recovers or dies, and then they'll get with a different flock. I feel like geese understand how to be the church better than the church. They understand the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand cannot say to the, or the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. See, unity allows us to celebrate one another as opposed to compete with one another or tear each other down. I went to lunch on Wednesday. I don't go to very many lunches, to be honest with you. I eat at my desk 95% of the time. I went to lunch on Wednesday with a guy. He comes from a very different space, very different culture than me. In a culture that I'm honestly not super familiar with. And I spent like an hour and a half with him, and I left, and I thought to myself, I'm a better human being, and I will be a better follower of Christ because of those conversations that we just had. Our staff is diverse in so many different ways, and our church is so much better because of it. Our differences are what makes us strong, and we just have to remain unified in Jesus and His Word. So you position yourself for the Holy Spirit by living in unity, and then also we have to learn how to receive power for His purpose. In Acts 2, 3, and 4, it said, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So here's what happened. This is wild. So these people have this outpouring, they experience this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then they go out, and just imagine there's like this international conference going on. So like these people, they go out and they like just imagine this. Imagine if we're in this room and then we go out and there's like an international conference in our community, and one of you goes out and you just start speaking in Russian. You never even heard Russian before. Now you're preaching the gospel in Russian. It's wild. Then one of you goes out and you're preaching the gospel in Chinese. You never even heard Chinese. You're just preaching. One of you goes on, you're in Spanish and you're in Portuguese and you're in French. I mean, it's what, that's what these guys are doing. They go out and they're preaching the gospel in other languages that they've never even heard. They receive the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's purpose. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're not like Boy Scout badges. They're like, I'm just going to achieve this so I can have this for me, so I can go to the next level. And like that's, no, they're tools that God gives us for his purpose, to reach his people, to love his people. Why do you have power in your house? None of you have ever called one of your friends and be like, I bet the power in my house is better than yours. That's not something you really brag about, right? Well, I mean, what's the point? Like last night, I'll be honest with you, there was a moment I was a little bit nervous. And the power went out. And at that point, I realized I needed the power. I didn't need light anymore. I didn't really care about that. But I really needed to hear what those dudes were saying on TV. That's what I needed to hear. The power in the house is for a specific purpose. The power of the Holy Spirit is for a specific purpose in your life. Think about being a conduit. We don't receive the Holy Spirit for our own good. Our desire should be that God would pour into us so we can pour out. It's He's moving through us. And then the fruit of the Spirit, like fruit, they're to be cultivated and developed, grown to be more like Jesus. They're meant to be produced for the good of others. Like water, when it becomes stagnant, it easily becomes contaminated. Water to stay fresh, you got to have an outlet. What is your outlet? Who are you pouring into? How are you using the gifts and the fruit of the Holy Spirit that God has developed in you for the good of his kingdom? Maybe you feel stuck or stagnant or stale. Your walk with God feels dry. Maybe it's because you stop letting the Holy Spirit flow through you. I'm not saying don't ever pray, God, I need this. No, I think sometimes you should pray that. I think the Bible's clear that's not all you should pray about. And really not even the majority of what you should pray about. What if we begin praying more, God, how do you want to move through me today? God, help me see the needs around me today. God, let your Spirit empower me and lead me and guide me today so I can accomplish your purpose, not my purpose. What if we stop saying we're too busy to serve, to lead, to volunteer, to invite, and we were able to see the purpose and power of the Holy Spirit working through us? Here's my prayer today. We would just be like, God, I want all that you have for me, everything. I want the Spirit of God to pour out upon me, not so I can keep it or not so I can be like, oh, look at me, so I can be useful to the kingdom. So I can be helpful. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be led by your Spirit. We can learn how to truly follow Jesus, but do it in unity and understand that he's giving us a power for his purpose. Heavenly Father, we love you. We're grateful for you. God, we're thankful for your Holy Spirit. That dwells in us, that moves in us. We're grateful for who you are, all that you've done, excited about what you continue to do. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and maybe say, I know who Jesus is. I even like Jesus, but the reality is I don't actually follow Jesus. But I want to. I don't want to follow the ways of the world anymore. I don't want to follow my own dreams and goals and ideas anymore. I just want to follow Jesus and only Jesus. If that's you all over this room, so I want to be forgiven of my sins. And I want to begin following a God who sent his son to die so I could be forgiven and I could be free, so I accept him as my Savior and my sacrifice. That's you all in this room. I'm going to be forgiven and I want to follow Jesus. Would you just slip your hand up in the air so I can pray for you? Thanks. Awesome, thanks, amen. Thanks, Phoebe, up top. Appreciate it. I'll wait just another second. Anybody else? I just want to follow Jesus. Amen. You can put your hands down. Everybody pray this prayer in the room together with those that raise their hands. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. And thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to live in me, to guide me, to help me. I will follow you every moment of my life. You're my Savior and my sacrifice, my King and my God. Thank you for loving me and setting me free. In Jesus' name.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media and tag @VictoryFamily_. If you haven't already, download the Victory Family Church app to stay connected with everything that's happening throughout the week. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome week.